Hello and welcome into the latest episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show from the Front Range Toyota Store Studios. 2025 fall sports season is here, and pleased to be joined on this week's episode of the Pioneers Coaches Show by the head women's volleyball coach at the University of Denver, Megan Pendergast, who joins us. Megan, it's so good to see you. How's the offseason been?
It's been really good. I think this was coming off of a real growth year for us, and so this spring was kind of a continuation of that. I think we made some real cultural advances and progress and had a lot of people step up, and I thought it was really, really great spring.
Year number three for you. And I was having this conversation the other day. When you get to year number three of a head coaching position, I was talking about this with Julianne Sitch. It feels like year one, obviously, you're kind of, frantic and everything is wild. You're trying to establish your routines and, figure out all of the little things for your program getting to be under your leadership. Year two is sort of the first time where you get to feel like, oh, okay, I'm into this. Year three, what's year three been like now approaching this season for you personally?
Yeah, I think year two is actually a really hard year. I think, I don't know what Sitch said, but I felt it was a hard year. I think it's one of those things where the newness is over, right? So the newness is over. Year two, a lot of times, is when the first time where you bump up against challenges and how does your culture face it? And so I think like I said, it was a growing year last year for us and culturally. The newness was over. The who are we really started to play a factor. And I think we went through a lot of growing pains. Year three, the hope is, and the feel in the gym right now is that some of those growing pains we're through the worst of it. And culturally, we're where we need to be in a lot of ways. And now the competitive and the volleyball is starting to really be more of a focus, which is really nice and the evolution you want to see within a program.
This is the time of the year, calendar wise, where you're honing the last things to get ready for the start of your season. You get things rolling on August 29th against USC on the road in Southern California. But you're sort of caught between the off season stuff, the in season routines, and the excitement level ratchets up, I would imagine, a ton. What is the vibe like as you get set for, a game week, the routines of what it is to head into a match, and now being out of the last few months of just like, all right, it'll get here when it gets here.
Yeah, you're talking about like how we transition from like summer to
Yeah,
season,
into
and
like the full
I
readiness
see.
period of a season.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you do it slowly. So last week we played five sets on Friday. So we went for 2.5 weeks, however long it was, and got to that point where it's like, okay, where are we in terms of being able to do our jobs and focus and play five sets. This week we'll build up a little bit more. We'll play 2 days where we're really heavy on the sixes, really heavy on the playing, to really start to push that, and then be in more of a routine. And so, week one, the beautiful thing and the reason why there's so many upsets, the reason why week one is so exciting for so many people is the routines aren't set yet. You're still figuring it out. That even if you're a repeat program, like what changes need to be made, what evolutions, what new personnel. And so, I think the newness is really exciting week one. And yeah, we're coming out swinging right out of the gate with a really strong program in USC, a historically great program. The Brad Keller's been I was with he was the other assistant coach at UCLA with me, so I've known him a long time, and so I'm excited to see my old buddy and play some volleyball. So it'll be really it's an exciting weekend. I also think it's a weekend where we've got nothing to lose. It's a program that's established. It's a big program. It's historically really strong volleyball, and in other sports, obviously, a really strong athletic program. And so for us, we get to go in there and we get to come out swinging. And SC has got to, we've got to make sure we show up, so they have to show up for us. And it's really, I did it on purpose. I think it's going to be a really good growth moment for our team. And who knows, the last time Denver played at SC, Denver came out on top. So you don't, I'm really excited to go there and be in Southern California, I mean, quite possibly the volleyball capital of the world, right? And so it's really awesome. Don't tell Nebraska I said that. Oh my God, they're gonna come for me. So Lincoln is the capital. Lincoln's the
As a
capital.
Nebraska alum, I'll take no offense there.
I went there too, don't forget.
I remember.
That's what I said.
2021.
Don't come for me.
2021, the last time the Pioneers and the Trojans faced off, and as you noted, DU came away with a win 3-2 in that matchup. And you'd kind of touched on it. This to start the season the way you are, you're sort of playing with house money because you go on the road as an underdog, you play a traditional power in SC, and you play an NCAA tournament from last year in Loyola Marymount. You mentioned, last year you do run into some bumps for the first time. For your team to have evolved and grown from those, and to be able to build off of the lessons that you took away from some of that adversity last year, how does that present itself in coming into this year? Like, what sort of benefits come from that with your returning players of, all right, now we know what it's like with each other when we have to go through the wars and to go on a difficult, two stop swing to get the season started. It's a good way to sort of reinforce that, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's that lesson is incredibly valuable, right? It's incredibly important. And for the returners on my team, I think they know that the goal we always say we coach for December. We train for December. We're going hard. We want to win every match that we're a part of. The point is to be prepared for conference play. The point is to be prepared to go to the dance, And so for us, we approach each match and the change that we're going to see hopefully in the past, we approach each match like it is that moment, because when we're in that way, when we're in that moment, we'll be ready. And so I think culturally the returners have learned that lesson. One loss doesn't define a season. One win doesn't define a season. It's the whole thing. The whole body of work is what really matters. And we want to be ready at the end of the year just as much as we want to push and get a few W's at the beginning of the year too. So, yeah, I think that the women on the roster or the Pios are ready to go in that sense and are not going to shy away from a challenge. I think they've learned that. I think they're going to show up for that. And so I'm really excited to see how they've matured and how they've grown being in a grown, sorry, in a big moment like that.
Being, we're gonna preview the season and talk about this roster coming up here, in our second segment. But, being that your first matchups this year are on the road, is there something nice about not jumping right into the pool at home that first week through? Because you sort of get to eliminate a lot of the distractions. You go to the hotel, you're just focused on SC, you're just focused on Loyola Marymount. What do you like about being able to hit the road for those first couple, get those under your belt before you come home?
I love hitting the road right out of the gate. I think it is, there's something to be said about playing at home and getting that in the comfort of that. You've been training there for a month before you play. Like there's a lot to be said. I think you hit it exactly right. Like when you hit the road, you're focused, right? It's just us. It's just us. There's no distractions. It's us and versus everybody. And I really love that feeling. And so Southern California is not a bad place to go, just like Denver's not a bad place to go. So I'm excited to hit the road. And yeah, I think you hit it on the head. It's just one of those things where we get to just be us and just be spend time together away from distractions, away from things that are really important in your everyday life. I think one great thing about us and the schedule, the academic calendar that we have is that our athletes get to be like they get to be pro athletes for the first month or so of this season. And we like to take advantage of that and also get these student athletes some experiences like going and playing, in a Galen Center that's a historical, going and playing a historical LMU that these are like awesome programs and really, they're NCAA tournament worthy and that's where we want to be. And so that's who we need to play.
Well, the Pioneers kicking things off coming up with the first matches of the season on the road at USC on August 29th and at Loyola Marymount on August 30th. And after the break, we are going to preview this 2025 season in a little bit more depth with the head coach of Denver Pioneers Volleyball, Megan Pendergast, as the Pioneers Coaches Show continues, presented by your Front Range Toyota Stores from the Front Range Toyota Store Studios. Back inside the Front Range Toyota Store studios, it is the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show as we get set for the kickoff of the 2025 fall sports calendar. And pleased to be joined by Pioneers head volleyball coach Megan Pendergast as DU gets set to open this 2025 slate at USC and at Loyola Marymount, and then returning home for the first time this season for the Denver Invitational coming up from September 4th to September 6th. My name is Tyler Mon. Megan, let's talk about this group this year. You've got a lot of new faces, five freshmen, a grad transfer, but some really talented players. Maddie Winkler, who comes out of your home state of Texas, one of the top players in the state. Izzy Rawlings, a setter who comes in with four seasons of experience at Rice. Tell us about these newcomers for 2025.
Yeah, you know, I think they have made a statement coming in, and the returners all have embraced them and been really gracious and welcoming, and but at the same time it's competitive, and we feel that, and that's encouraged, and we're really excited about it. You know, you have like you said, Maddie Winkler is coming in as a DS into a already really talented pool of Elena Finucane and Emerson Werger of the our talented liberos and DSs. You're adding Quinlan Jones and Alicia Thibodeau to our roster of pins, and both of them have been incredible in terms of their wanting to learn and make an impact right away. And then, you know, I think Elise Hart in the middle has been, she's been incredible in terms of her mentality, in terms of what she brings competitively. And then, yeah, middle's the hardest position on the court, I think, a lot of days. And so she's really embraced that, embraced like, oh, this is going to be a higher level. This is going to be different. This takes more out of me. And so, it's been really exciting. And then, you know, Haley Gable has been also added to our roster, and she's coming off a knee injury and been redshirting, but she's also been incredible in terms of joining our roster and making an impact, and you know, being a great teammate and working hard and inspiring, you know, some really hard play from her teammates. And so it's been really great to welcome the new guys. You're muted.
I was muted. With a whole bunch of incoming talent, you get to see the mix and the balance in the dynamics of how your roster works and all of that. And so much of that is predicated on returning culture. And you've got really, really good talent back this year. Jemiah Johnson, Ava Reynolds, you mentioned Elena a moment ago, and Emerson. For the group that is back this year and dealt with some of that adversity like we talked about from last season, what are the leadership steps that they take going into a year like this, you know, with really good experience already, sort of backstopping them going into a season like this, and being able to welcome in a lot of really promising new talent?
Yeah, they're ready. I mean, they've all stepped up leadership wise. You know, I think Elena Finucane has been so vocal. You talk about, and Emma Marabelli has stepped up. She, sometimes you can't take your eyes off of her in video, her celebrations and her communication, and you just feel their presence on the court. You know, I think Kate Perryman in the middle is coming, you know, a returner going into her senior season, and you feel their presence on the court. And I think that young talent coming in and them seeing that young talent has really been inspirational in some ways too, of like, oh, we have people in here. I need to step up and be a leader as much as I need to do my job. And so those guys have worked really hard. Some of them have been through a lot. You know, Jen Lewis has grown up more in the past, you know, year, 6 months than you could possibly imagine. And she's pushing every day and this big physical force on the right side. And so you've got Izzy, you've got all of them. Ava obviously has been bringing it constantly, but I think the leadership has been the thing, and the maturity and the growth and the curiosity have been the things that have stood out to me most from this returning group. You know, and I haven't even brought up like the sophomores. I'm just talking about the seniors, because, you know, when you talk about an Emerson, Jemiah, Isabel Molina, Elida, you know, Aaron, these guys are incredible, right? And they have been a huge part of why the culture has changed. And, you know, at times they've even stepped up and been a leader, and our seniors and our older have seen like, oh, that's what I want to be too. And they at return have stepped up. And so it's been really great, you know. And then I haven't even mentioned our secret weapon of Rayanna Knapp, who's you know, coming out of NorCal. She's amazing. And she, Ray's been incredible, an incredible leader from the sideline. And she's a leader all summer. She's a leader in work ethic. Like, she just shows up and works. Like, she is not, she's barely cleared to do anything, and she's still outworking people. And I think it's incredible. So I'm really impressed with our sophomores. I'm really impressed with our senior returners. And I think the freshmen have just inspired them to even step up their game anymore, because they showed up ready to go. They showed up prepared, and it's been really great to see. So.
One of the factors of this schedule is, even though we talked about you head on the road for weekend number one, you're sort of backloaded road wise, a heavy home schedule early, and not just being on campus, but being in the state of Colorado, because you come home and you'll have those 3 days for the Denver Invitational with Memphis, Texas Southern, and Idaho State in town. But then the following week, you go to Boulder. Week after that, you go to Colorado Springs. And even once Summit League play starts, you travel for Oral Roberts to kick off Summit League play, but then you get three straight matches at home. How can that help build momentum potentially, where you're playing in comfortable environments, you're not doing a whole lot of the exhausting travel stuff early on? It feels like that's one of those things where all of a sudden you look up at the beginning of October, you're in late September, and things have gone well because your team has gotten to build familiarity and continuity with a relatively normal travel schedule early on.
I think the big factor in that is the teams in Colorado are incredible right now. I think there's a lot of great programs. I think there's a lot of great coaches that are doing a really nice job with their programs. And so, at some point you realize that the challenges are right here at home. And I think when that happens, I want to be the best team in Colorado. I think we all do, right? Colorado State, Air Force, Colorado, Northern Colorado. These are incredible programs, right? And so for me to be able to go against them, I think that's the challenge you want, right? You want to fight to be the best in this state, and you want to fight and against where it means something. It matters. So I think a big focus of me playing a lot of those Colorado teams was it can be a little personal at times. Like, we want to beat them a little bit more. They want to beat us a little bit more. We need to be in scenarios like that going into Summit League, because in the Summit League, that's what it feels like. These are teams we play year in, year out. Like, these are teams that we've been in battles with, and we respect, and they respect us. And so I kind of wanted to duplicate that a little bit in the preseason, where we're going to play really hard teams. We're playing, Colorado and Arkansas and Northern Colorado, Air Force. Like, these are incredible programs that are doing incredible things. And so for us to be able to have those matches, but also feel those matches, like, they feel like they mean a little bit more, because it's us against them. They're an hour up the road. Like, I think that was something that we talked about as a staff, and I thought about as, when we were making this schedule. And so it is not it's not an accident that the schedule looks the way it looks. I wanted us to feel those moments early on in this season, so we were more prepared later on.
Megan, one of the things that I always hear coaches talk about, we touched on the year three thing a little while ago, but year three always seems like it's the time where teams become able to lead themselves in a lot of ways. Whereas a head coach, you've been preaching and developing your culture, but it becomes athlete perpetuated, student athlete perpetuated at some point. How does that translate in year three for your team? And what excites you most about this group as you head to Los Angeles for your first couple of showdowns of the season?
You know what? We always say, and I stole this from the military, but it's not what you preach, it's what you allow, right? And it's not only what you preach, me as the head coach, but it's them too, what they preach, but also what they allow from themselves. And I think that is where you start to see, and where I've started to see leaders emerge, and leaders at different levels. Like, it's not always just like we have one leader. Like, leadership is a quality that we demand from everyone. And so and there's a lot of different ways to show it. You can be a good leader by being a good follower too, and so I think some of the best leaders I've ever known have been really bought into the system and been really a good follower, in the sense of like, hey, this is what we're doing, let's go do it. And then they develop into some vocal and really great leaders. And so I've really seen that from our program. You know, I've been challenging them nonstop. This summer we all learned how to juggle. And so we did it. We had to learn four different ways. The first was regular three ball, just right hand with two balls, just left hand with two balls, and then bounce, right? And the reason was threefold. The first was I wanted them to pick up the balls to juggle for the first time and think, there's no way I can do this, and then get to work on it. That's something we face during the season, right? There's no way. How can we get this done? And then get after it. Okay. The second thing was they had to learn how to fail. The only way to learn how to juggle is to try and fail, try and fail, try and fail. So that failure recovery and that ability to, like, okay, if I keep at this, I'm going to get better at it. Even though the first few times I tried it felt horrible and it was not easy and it did not go well. Right. And the third one was the camaraderie of it all. It was easier to learn to juggle this summer if they did it together. If they all sat in a room or in their apartment at night or in the house and made dinner and practiced juggling. And so through that, I think they built a lot of leadership and they built a lot of those moments where it was like, okay, here's this hard thing that, you know, coach asked us to learn how to do. They didn't know why they were learning how to do it. Right. I just was like, if you can't juggle on the first day, don't show up. And they embraced it, right? And they embraced it in a way that really, really was impressive to me. And they all nailed it. They've all in the first week, they all had it ready to go. They all nailed it. And they were proud of themselves too, because it was not easy, right? And so, you know, when you talk about preparation and developing leaders and what it means, like going into week one, that's what I've seen from them this summer, is just taking pride in what we're doing and how we're doing it, and buying into a task that they didn't even really know why we were learning it. They just thought it was a mastery thing, but they bought into it and they were ready. And so that's the difference I see, is just the buy-in and the willingness to do what it takes. If juggling is what it takes, if coach says juggling is what it takes, let's juggle. And I think that has been huge for this program and huge for the women on the roster. And I'm stoked for the Pios going into this, because they're ready.
This team is going to be a lot of fun here in 2025. The Pioneers kick things off on Friday, August 29th in Los Angeles against USC. Following afternoon, they'll be at Loyola Marymount. But the Denver Invitational starts inside Hamilton Gymnasium, 6 o'clock for the Pioneers, at least, against Memphis on Thursday, September 4th. Friday against Texas Southern, also at 6 o'clock. Saturday afternoon against Idaho State. Those teams will square off amongst each other throughout that weekend as well. But get around the Pios here in 2025. Megan Pendergast is the head coach of Denver Women's Volleyball. I got to end on this. Who's the best juggler and where do you rank?
I'm number one.
As the
It's not even
head coach
close.
should be. I like it. I
I
like
don't
it
ask them to
being.
do anything that I can't do, except for I'm a little shorter, so some of the big girls can do things I can't do, but that's not on me. But yeah, I was the best one. I think I heard Emerson really led the charge on the juggling.
Okay.
Emerson was really good at all of them, so I think she held it down. But it's me. It's pfft. I could do it all before I asked them to do it.
If you see Megan Pendergast or you see a Pioneers volleyball player on campus anywhere else, make sure you have a handful of things
They'll be
that
ready to go. They can do it.
books,
Yeah.
bottles, you got your water
Doesn't
on you,
matter.
whatever it
They're
is.
ready.
It'll be fine. It'll be great. Megan, thanks so much for the time. Good luck in LA, and we'll see you back here coming up early September.
Thanks, Tyler.
Wrapping up this week's episode of the Pioneers Coaches Show from the Front Range Toyota Store Studios. We'll talk to you next time.